practice is going on right now, and I'm sweating bullets out here, but we're out here. If you're out here, don't, you know, feel free to say hi. Don't be shy about it all. But we have Coach Riz joining us later on in the show. We have G. Bush joining us in about 40 minutes, quick hits in about 20 minutes. But we're talking about Jimmy Haslam and that comment right there, and wondering, why is Jimmy giving Andrew Berry credit for Shador? 216-474 to below 92, and whether or not Jimmy's actually trying to just rewrite his narrative. And I think that's the bigger message here. Again, I was pretty adamant in just thinking about things rationally on draft night, whether or not Jimmy Haslam had any say in Shador Sanders. And yes, you co-op it with that viral photo where it looks like Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry want nothing to do with taking Shador Sanders. You co-op that with all the information that we believed about Jimmy Haslam and being Jerry Jones light, etc., where he wants to turn this into a show. Like, if you think about him, and when you think about Jerry Jones, you think about somebody that is like a great showman that cares about the conversation around the Cowboys more than he cares about what actually happens with the Cowboys. I think they get an A-plus in many, many ways when it comes to the Cowboys, except for the actual on-field product. And I think for years, I think people have been asking themselves, will Jimmy move away from having so much say in the football decisions? And I feel like on draft night, I put it on him. On draft night, I did. I thought to myself, I'm getting text all over everywhere, people telling me that Jimmy didn't have any say in the Shador Sanders decision, and I just didn't believe it. Just to be honest with you, I didn't believe it. But I didn't think about the big picture around Jimmy Haslam and what currently exists right now around Jimmy. And I think it was never more evident than in that press conference. As you heard him, he interrupted D multiple times as she was trying to make a point about the stadium and building the stadium to be like, well, actually, to his wife in that moment. It was odd. But he's like, well, actually, and then goes on like a 7-point rant talking about different things about the stadium. Well, you can hear what people spend their time in based off of what they actually sound like they have excitement for. Like, for instance, you can tell I spend a lot of time talking and discussing about the Cleveland Browns because every time I talk about them, which is often in my life, but I have high energy. I'm excited by it. I think there's a lot of fun with it. Like, I was in Boston this past weekend, and a lot of my my in-laws, my father-in-law's side of the family, they're very educated people, and they want to talk a lot of politics, which is fine. That happens in 2025. But I was like, you know what? Not that interested in this conversation. Like, this is not for me. I like sports. I'm not as political. I can dabble in those waters, but I'm not as political. And so I was like, it's fine. And I just kind of like sat there and ate my food, and it wasn't really a big deal. But you can tell. You can tell what people are interested in. And Jimmy in this press conference was interested in the stadium convo. We think about how quick he was to just be like, yeah, that was Jimmy. Jimmy's decision. Hey, we have a good process. Anybody want to ask me about what's happening at Brook Park? Anybody want to ask me about what's going on? Can we talk about Jimmy Land? Can we talk about what are they calling it? Pound Town is a joke. Can we talk about the shopping centers and the shopping malls? Which makes sense. He's a business guy. Yes, he's a football owner, but he's a business guy. He should have a lot more sense into what's happening there as opposed to anything else. So I thought it was really, really interesting that Jimmy's giving Berry credit for Shador Sanders, and I think it goes for a couple different reasons. If there was ever a time to try to latch onto I get credit for Shador Sanders, it would have been this press conference right now. There'll be more times down the line if Shador's awesome at football to try to take credit for it. I promise you that. But I thought it was really interesting that Jimmy tried to, today, in a day where Shador went 9-for-9 yesterday in practices, didn't have a ball touch the ground, threw a couple touchdown passes, was basically awesome by every metric and every measurement that you can have for one of these things, which isn't that many, by the way, but it was basically awesome out of every eye test you could possibly tell and everything else. He didn't come out there and gloat about taking Shador Sanders. He didn't come out gloating about the value that Shador offers. No, he's like, that was Andrew Berry. Now, this is a double-edged sword. This works both ways. And like I talk about Dolan in New York getting back involved into the team and how now all of a sudden they have the worst coaching search in NBA history. This can go a couple different ways. The idea that he was, in my opinion, over the past couple years, not as involved as he used to be, and definitely taking a step back as he was focused on the stadium project, well, think about some of the reaction to that. Stefanski and Berry then have a longer leash. There's a reason why we're entering year 6 and they've got one playoff win. You can fast forward this thing if he doesn't pay enough attention to it and pays too much attention to the stadium and wake up one day and we're 10 years in and Stefanski and Barry both still have one playoff win and we got nothing to show for a decade of work. It's a very realistic possibility that could happen. That's why people like myself continue to harp on the idea that you have to have actual winning seasons. You can't just seem like you're winning games and seem like you're doing things, the process is right, and seem like you're doing everything on the up and up. You have to actually do it. And Jimmy, to his credit today, Jimmy spoke to what a disaster last season actually was. All right, we'll get that clip for you guys in just a second here. 216-474-0092 on Twitter. There you can find me. I am at Jay Peterlin. Basically, what the clip was Jimmy calling it a disaster in his own words, which I thought was scathing, which I thought was interesting, and I didn't see coming, all things considered. All right, let's go to that clip. Here was Jimmy Haslam earlier today.
You know, we made the decision last year to take a step back after last year's disaster and looking at our roster and knowing that we needed a quarterback to do this over a 2 or 3 year period. You know, it's too early to say, but we like our rookie group. We'll know a lot more, you know, after we play 2 or 3 exhibition games. The young guys get to play a lot, but we like the group, and particularly if Q can come back, we like it a lot.
And we'll see. We'll see what exactly he does like. Instead of understanding the man, they turn him into Wile E. Coyote. You know, a cartoon to be laughed at. And I get that. I do. I understand it. But we'll see in 2, 3, 4 years how much patience he actually has. Now, like the Dolans in New York, though, I do wonder if all of a sudden it hits the fan and he doesn't have the stadium to focus in on, well, where his attention's going to actually be. That's why I thought it was interesting. So over the past week and a half or so, a lot of the conversation has fallen back into Arch Manning and whether or not the Browns would be interested in an Arch Manning-Nick Saban conversation. Colin Cowherd started talking about it. We talked about it last week as well. And you can see like something like that would get Jimmy enough excited past the stadium operations, past the stadium and the building and everything, and just purely from a football standpoint. Peyton, obviously, with the relationship in Tennessee, the close connection to the state of Tennessee that the Manning family has to bring Arch Manning to the Browns, you'd have to think he'd be interested in such a thing. Well, this was Jimmy speaking on that earlier today at his press conference.
You get paid by how many hits you get, okay? And I think if you know the Manning family, I would bet that, and I don't know Arch at all, okay? I bet he stays in college 2 years, so that's, I don't even think that's worth discussing.
Okay, that's a far different cry from what Colin Cowherd described as the biggest, what did he say? It wasn't even a kept secret. It was just like the biggest open secret in all of the South is that Jimmy Haslam's interested. This is what you have to say if you're Jimmy Haslam right now. This is how you speak if you're Jimmy Haslam right now. This is the conversation you have to have if you're Jimmy Haslam right now. But the idea that he didn't even focus on for next year, it's like, yeah, Arch is going to be in there for 2 more seasons, which, by the way, I believe in him. I believe that's an accurate statement. But did Jimmy go around telling everyone that 2 weeks ago? Or is that something that Jimmy just came to the conclusion of himself? Like, did the Manning family call up Jimmy Haslam and say, hey, listen, we like you, Jimmy. We do. But if you think you're tanking for a quarterback at number one overall and it's Arch, don't do that to yourself. Apparently, they hang out all the time. Apparently, they're good friends. Did the Manning family give him a sense of, hey, please don't do that if this is what you're trying to do? If you're thinking about going down this road, stop. The stop sign's up immediately. Don't do that because Arch is staying for 2 more seasons. Arch is going to play 1 more year at Texas, make $6.5 million in NIL, and then he's going to play another season after that, probably make $10 to $12 million in NIL, and because he's got the Manning name, he'll be fine. The $20 million he'll make in his college career is going to be more than enough to offset the idea that he'll miss out on a 1 more year of a big-time payday. He needs the work, he needs the experience, and everything else in between. It's something that just got people all hot and bothered last week, and I thought it was interesting, not only that Haslam was asked about it, but that Haslam just directly responded to it and basically stamped it down. All right, one more other thing I want to get to. We got quick hits coming up in about 10 minutes. We also have G. Bush joining us at 3 o'clock. G's going to join us from 3 to 6, and then I'll be back solo from 6 to 7. I am sweating immensely out here. Earl is over there in the corner, looks pristine, looks like he has a, I mean, the man right now, have you ever sweat ever? I have no idea. I'm sweating bullets. Jake, you can attest to this. This is ridiculous. I look like I just ran a marathon.
Yeah, it's really bad out here.
Oh my gosh. We're going to talk to Coach Riz at 4 o'clock. Well, I talked to Coach about an hour ago, and I was like, so what do you want to focus in on when we talk? Like, what are you focusing on for this practice in particular? He's like, well, I want to see what they do in the heat. I want to see, they had pads on yesterday for the first time, so they got a little bit used to that again. This will be day two of that, but then I want to see what they do in the heat. And I'm fascinated as well, because I'm having a hard time sitting here talking to you guys in the heat. How are they out there running, doing athletic things, right? I mean, listen, I'm acting like it's 108 out here. I think my my app on my phone said it's like 87, but I'm telling you, I'm sweating bullets right now. It's ridiculous. All right, 216-474-0092. One more thing I want to get to before we get to quick hits coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Mary Kay Cabot was on earlier today on Baskin and Phelps, and she alluded to the idea whether or not this is a make-or-break season for Stefanski and Barry, and we can tie that into the Haslam convo as well. Here we go.
This is a fact-finding mission this year to see if they have their quarterback of the future on the roster. They, of course, have those two first-round picks next year, and they are uniquely poised to select a quarterback in next year's stronger QB class. So I don't necessarily think that they're holding their feet to the fire this year. I think this is a season in which they're trying to find out if maybe Kenny Pickett can be their at least medium-term answer. What can Dillon Gabriel do for them? What can Shador do? So I don't necessarily think they're going to look at this year as a make or break season for Kevin or even Andrew at all.
And I'll give the regard, and Mary Kay is singing the same tune as well, is that they are consistent across the board and that being their messaging. There's fans like me and you who want to see Shador come out there, win the job, and then just be the quarterback for the next 10 years, and we don't have to worry about the quarterback situation. And on top of it, we get bonus picks next year in the first round that we can use for skill position players. There are people like myself that believe that's a realistic possibility if things break a certain way. Is it the expected possibility? No, but it's a realistic possibility. I think it's interesting that the Browns themselves, and then you hear it with Mary Kay Cabot as well, they're singing the tune, and they have been consistently now. Jimmy Haslam singing that as well earlier today, the idea that this is basically a gap year of sorts. This is a year. Mary Kay called it a fact-finding mission. That's a nice way to dress it up. This is a year where you find out a little bit more about players, you find out a little bit more about guys who can be here long-term, and then you keep things moving. For me, I'll take the excitement of trying to see if I can hit on one of those lottery tickets that is a quarterback, because that'll keep me coming back. But they're clear about their messaging, and Haslam stamped that down today as well. Quick hits with Jake when he joins us next right here on Afternoon Drive.